It is indeed good to see all of you here this morning, and we praise the Lord for your presence with us. There was a little girl, and you know, I think it would be exciting to be a Sunday school teacher. It's exciting to be a teacher in a school, and I know that many of our teachers in school, but also those in Sunday school, they can write books and volumes about what the kids say. Aren't you thankful that your Sunday school teacher doesn't remember all the things that your kids said about you when they were in Sunday school? All right, but there was this one little girl, this one occasion, and maybe your child has done something similar to this, but this little girl was asked by her Sunday school class teacher, she said, "What is today?" To which the girl very confidently and boldly said, "It's Easter." And the teacher said, "Well, what happened on Easter?" And the little girl said, "Well, Jesus came out of the tomb. And if he sees his shadow, he's going to go back in for 7 weeks." Kids say the funniest things, don't they? And they would come up with something like that. And while they do that, they realize this, that Jesus did not go back into the tomb. He is truly risen. He is alive today. And today we're celebrating his resurrection. And the empty tomb of Jesus Christ declares there's a resurrection power that no other religion can ever offer. I want us to know that. There's a power that no other religion can ever offer. That's why I want you to turn with me in the book of Philippians, if you have your Bibles, chapter 3. And we're going to be reading from Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. Before we read, let's go to the Lord. Father, this is your word. This is what you have given to us. And Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us about, do we really understand the power of the resurrection in our lives? Do we really understand what that means? And Father, that if we do, that you would allow us to be encouraged by that. If we don't, then that you would speak to our hearts here by your Holy Spirit. And that you would help us to understand the truths of your words as only you can. Thank you for this glorious day and for all these dear people who are here. Bless them and encourage them in Jesus' name. Philippians chapter 3, beginning of verse 7. Paul says, "Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." The pressing point that I want us to seek for today is this. It's Paul's desire that I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, it's very interesting that God designed people. He designed you and me, us. He designed us to hunger, I believe, for that which is what we would call spiritual, beyond the physical realm. He's put that within us. Solomon confirms that. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon makes this statement about God, which I think is extremely powerful and only you remember. He says he has made everything appropriate in this time. We talked about the seasons a couple of Sundays ago and about how God has arranged and planned things according to his time. But here's the thing that's really powerful for this morning. And it says, he has also set eternity in their heart. God has placed within each of us this desire to understand and to know about things of eternity. Now, people of all nations around the world have religions of one sort or another, something that they practice or they believe in, that they seek in some way to meet that spiritual longing that God placed within them, that vacuum that he's placed in there in one way or another. There was an editor of the World Christian Encyclopedia several years ago who stated that, at this particular time, that there were nearly 10,000 distinct religions. Now that can be any kind of thing. Probably there are 12 main. There is about 43 or 4,400 that are actively involved, but there's over 10,000 religions. That means that there are people that are hungering for something more than what they see on this world. And I think that number has steadily risen. They all of them claim to have the answers that will satisfy this hunger for this spiritual truth. I was looking through some of the posts as I was looking up some of this information about the religions, and I came across one post that stated this, and I want you to see this. We need to make sure we understand what these things are. He said this, every religion belongs to every man. There is only one God and there is only one universe. He says man should claim that one God and he should belong to all the religions in the universe. He should pick up the diamonds from all the religions and use them in his spiritual path. Nations have physical boundaries. But spiritualism is the single ocean in which all the religions must mix like rivers. You know, when you think about God's Word says something totally different than that. God's Word written to us, the Bible, assures us that there is only one who can truly satisfy your and my spiritual need. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That is because he, and only he, has been resurrected eternally from the dead. That's the distinguishing mark of what we call Christianity. It's the distinguishing mark of why we are here today celebrating the resurrection. He is the only one that was raised from the dead eternally. All those religions in the world have one thing in common. There's something that none of us can escape. It's true to every man, woman, child, every religion, and that is death. The grave. The final resting place. Death is no respecter of persons. It grabs the young, and it grabs the old. It grabs the male and female, rich and poor. And many of you in this room have, within the last 2 or 3 years, experienced that in your life. You've experienced the reality of death. It's no respecter of persons. Everyone has, or eventually will, shed tears over a gravesite of someone you love. Or will have someone else shed tears over your gravesite. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Life's like a vapor that appears for a little while. Many of us in this room may not be here. Myself, we may be gone. We may die. And there will be tears shed over you, or you will shed tears, perhaps, in this next year over the grave. It is an inevitable thing that will happen to all of us. The Bible states very clearly that it is appointed for men to die one time. You're going to all die once, and after this comes the judgment. Now, unless you're fortunate enough to be here when Jesus returns for what I would call the rapture, when he comes back to take his church home, eventually we are all going to die. Then I want you to be assured, many of you here have lost a loved one within the last year or two. And that pain, that sting of that death is still there, it's very real. If they were a believer, and you are a believer, you have the hope that one day you will be taken up if we go up to be with the Lord, and thus you'll be with the Lord and your loved one forever. You have that hope. So the resurrection gives you the hope that someday you're going to see that loved one. You're going to be with them again. And that should encourage your heart and lift you up. The question, though, that I want us to ask, based upon this concept of this common death for all of us, is this. I want to ask you, and I want you to ask yourselves today, where will I go when I die? Where will I go when I die? Are you sure of where you're going to spend eternity? Do you know today where you will spend eternity? Of all the miracles that Jesus performed, victory over the grave is the most significant one of all. He's the only one who had the power to take away that chill of death. There's something about that. When you touch that body of that loved one, it is cold. There's something about that that just chills your spirit and your soul at the same time. But Jesus is the only one who took away that chill. And he brought everlasting light to the darkness of what we would call sin and death. No other religion, no other religious leader has ever demonstrated that power. And no other religion or religious leader has ever been able to put Jesus back into the grave. The Bible tells us that Jesus brought people back from the grave. There were people that he raised from the grave. He even at one point sent out his disciples and said, I want you to heal the sick and I want you to bring back the blind sight. I want you to be able to allow those people to hear. I also want you to raise the dead. So even those disciples, although we don't have the account of it, were given the power to do that. But there is only one who came back and walked out of that tomb and never returned. And he stayed out. And we celebrate not a dead Christ, but a risen one. He is risen and he is alive today. Is he risen and alive in your life today? Jesus didn't mess around with death. He conquered death, and now through him, we also will conquer death if we know him. Paul said it very, very succinctly. He said, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? In other words, where is the power of your death? He says, the sting of death is sin. The reason for death is because of sin, because of that original sin that happened in the Garden of Eden, passed down to all of us. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who does what? He gives us the victory. How? Through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a power of the gospel that is oftentimes unexplained. Many of you have come to Christ in many different ways and shapes. Years ago in London, there was a large gathering of some very noble people, including a famous preacher of that day, a man by the name of Caesar Millan. A very young lady played and sang charmingly, and everyone was delighted. Very graciously, tactfully, and yet boldly, the preacher went up to her after the music had ceased, and he said this to her. He says, I thought as I listened to you tonight how tremendously the cause of Christ would be benefited if your talents were dedicated to his cause. Oh, God wants to use your life, people, for his cause. He wants to use your gifts and your abilities and the things he's given you for him. And he says, I would be so excited if that would be true in your life. He says, you know, young lady, and I read this and I thought, oh, okay. You know, young lady, you are as much of a sinner in the sight of God as a drunkard in the ditch or a harlot on the street. Oh, can you imagine saying that to someone? But I'm glad to tell you, he went on, that the blood of Jesus, his son, can cleanse you of your sin. That young lady snapped at him. And she snapped out a rebuke in front of everybody about his presumption. To which he replied, my dear lady, I mean you no offense. I pray that God's Spirit will convict you. Are you praying for those around you who are lost, that the Holy Spirit of God will convict them? The young woman went to her home. The young woman went to bed. But she could not sleep. Oftentimes it's in the night that God will speak to the quietness of your heart. She could not rest. She had no peace whatsoever. The face of that preacher appeared before her, and his words just rang out in her mind, and it troubled her heart until at 2:00 in the morning. She sprang from her bed. She took a pencil and she took a paper, and with tears of repentance and true sorrow and contrition, she, streaming down her face, a lady by the name of Charlotte Elliott wrote this now famous poem. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. How many of you have heard that song? Billy Graham, that was one of his major invitation songs. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. You see, Charlotte Elliott came to realize the truth of the Word of God. And that is this: there is none righteous. Even she, who was a good person who led a moral life, even she was not righteous, not even one, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all born with a sinful nature and are separated from God. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, to take upon himself your sin and mine, to satisfy the wrath of God and his judgment. And he did that because he loves you and me. God so loved the world, he so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you would believe in him, you will have everlasting life and not perish. And he did that by showing us. That's why the cross was so important. He went to the cross to show us and demonstrate his love toward us. Even while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for you and me on that cross. He didn't wait for you and me to clean up our act. He went there before you did that. And he died for your sins. If God wanted to damn you and me into his own hell, all he needed to do was leave you and me alone. Just leave us where we are. Without salvation, we're lost and we're under condemnation. We'll perish eternally. But God doesn't leave you and me alone. That's the beauty. He wants us to be saved. Jesus, in talking about himself, you know what he says? I'm the Son of Man, and the Son of Man did what? He did not come to seek it. He did come to seek and to save that which was lost. He went out after the 99 were saved. He went out after that one that was lost, and that's you and me. Perhaps he's coming after you today. Do you know? Because he loves you and me. He loves each one of us. He sends the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin, of God's righteousness, and the eventual judgment that will come, just as he did with Charlotte Elliott that night. This judgment comes when we die. There's no escaping it. We're all going to face it. The Lord Jesus knocks on the door of each heart, and he invites you and me to salvation. We must all come to him as Charlotte Elliott did, just as you are, a sinner who needs Jesus Christ. She realized, as we all must, that Jesus had to die on the cross. The Bible says very clearly, all things are cleansed with blood, and notice this, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There has to be a shedding of blood. The Easter story is about the cross as well, because it tells of the necessary death of Jesus for the forgiveness of those who would trust him. Many of you who are historians here remember the famous Battle of Waterloo years and years ago, and at that time involving the British. There was a man who was set at a post in England's Winchester Cathedral. He was awaiting the signal to know whether or not his country had won the war. As the signal lighted and it began to shine, fog began rolling through that countryside. The watchman read the signal that he saw, which said this: England defeated. He signaled the news to the other watchmen, and it spread along the countryside, and everyone was devastated by this tragedy. Then the fog lifted, and the watchmen discovered the true signal, and it said, England defeated the enemy. Joy and celebration. The wrong message had gotten through. On Good Friday, it seemed that the message was this: Christ defeated. Taken down from that cross. His body mutilated, his body torn to pieces and bloody, taken down from that cross and put in the grave, and the tombstone rolled over it. Christ defeated. But 3 days later, we discovered that that message had not been fully received. The resurrection now reverses what we initially thought and declares this: Christ defeated the enemy. The angel said to the woman at the tomb, as we read earlier, Why is it that you seek the living one among the dead? He is no longer here, but he is risen. Jesus said, you must be born again. Powerful statement. Because he lives, if we trust him as our Lord and Savior, his resurrection power, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection power offers forgiveness of our sins and offers us eternal life. The Bible says very clearly, if we trust him, I'll forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. In fact, you know how far he forgets your sins? It says, as far as the east is from the west. If you know Jesus is your Savior, so far has he removed your transgressions from you, just in the eyes of God. That's the hope and the power of the resurrection. The resurrection proves that Jesus Christ more than any other religion, is truly God. He is the one who claimed to be God, and he is, and his word can be trusted in your life and mine. It proves that if we acknowledge our need for a Savior to free us from sin and trust in him, our resurrection to eternal life is guaranteed, and spiritual death will be abolished. In closing, that's why David said this in that famous psalm. He says, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's a shadow. Death is not real to those who know Jesus Christ. I will fear no evil because you're with me. The Bible promises that if we have received forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ on the cross, one day we will stand face to face with him and we will be like him because we'll see him as he is. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far from the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory I will see him by and by. The only way, people, today, the only way that you can know him in the power of his resurrection is by receiving him as your Lord and Savior, by repenting of your sin and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He died for you. Have you received him? And have you experienced his resurrection power? If not, I want to challenge you this morning to carefully consider whether today is the day that you need to make that decision. Is Jesus speaking to you, and the Holy Spirit God speaking to you in your heart about your need for Christ? If he is, then respond. Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Come to him, and he will give you eternal life. That's the invitation today. What better thing to do than on Easter Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday, that you place your trust in Christ? For those of us who are already believers, we're new creatures. The Bible says that the old things passed away, and guess what? New things come. Is there a newness in your life today? Are you experiencing the power? Is your life changed to the point that people around can see that there's something different about you? Live your life in the power of his resurrection, dear people. He's risen. He's not dead. You shouldn't be walking around like you're dead either. You've got to be excited about that. Share the good news. One of the first things that people did after they saw that Jesus was raised as they went out and told other people. Share the good news of salvation from sin and eternal life divided by the death and resurrection of Jesus' only Son. My dear friends in Christ, there is a world out there needing to hear this message of forgiveness, of hope, and peace. They need to hear about the message of the power of the resurrection that can do in their life. Are you willing to share that? Father, we pray that this Sunday morning, this Easter Sunday morning, we would know the power of the resurrection. That we would know Jesus. Father, if by some means there is someone here who does not know Jesus, Holy Spirit, as you speak to that person's heart, perhaps even like Charlotte Elliott, maybe tonight in the quietness of their room, that you would touch their heart and convict them of their need for Christ. He came that we might have life and might have it abundantly. Do you have that abundantly? Let God's Spirit speak to your heart today. Be honest with yourself and don't avoid it. And if you do know Christ, let the power of Christ and the resurrection be seen in your life. Be excited about Christ. Be excited about your life for what he has called you to do. And be excited to live for him.